We have heard a great deal about healing. With this wonderful outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God in the last 15 to 20 years especially, in what has come to be called the charismatic renewal, God has shown Himself mighty once again to heal. And He has raised up within the body of Christ men and women with magnificent healing ministries, flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring healing to a sick body of Christ and to a sick world. In more recent years, the Holy Spirit of God has been poured out upon all flesh, and ordinary folks without great healing ministries are laying their hands upon the sick and getting healed. People within the body of Christ are learning how to believe the Word of God and receive healing for themselves. And while there is still a great deal of attention placed upon being sick and being healed, and there's a lot of talk within the body of Christ, do you know that the body of Christ is the most whole body in the world today? All you have to do is look around in your families, look around in your neighborhoods, and see those that do not profess Christ, and realize the blessing of God that is upon you in a physical way. Because we know healing belongs to us, when we get a headache, we get all distraught. But while you're fighting your headache, your next door neighbor is in the hospital battling for her life. There's a difference, beloved. I pray that you're seeing it. But God's Word goes beyond the truth that healing belongs to the Christian. It goes far beyond that and explains to us that health is our right and our inheritance. God wants us to be healed when we are sick, but He would rather we never get sick. He wants us to be healthy and to be in health. 3 John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you be in health and you prosper." He didn't say, "I wish above all things that you get healed when you're sick." He said, "Above all things, I wish that you would be in health. I don't want you to get sick. I don't want you to ever be sick. I don't want you to have that kind of thing in your life." The book of Exodus, chapter number 15, let's begin there. Verse number 23. Exodus 15 and verse number 23, the children of Israel have been delivered from Egyptian bondage and they are on their way through the wilderness to a place that they don't know, to the land of Canaan. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. How many of you have ever been sick in here? How many of you have ever experienced sickness or illness or weakness of flesh? Was it sweet? It was very bitter, wasn't it? Very bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken," what did we hear the Spirit of the Lord say prophetically today? "Seek me how? Diligent. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Now God said that they could remain disease-free under what condition? that they would diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, that they would do what is right in His sight, that they would give ear to His commandments and keep His statutes. And God said, if you'll do that, I will see to it that the diseases that have afflicted the world will not afflict you. I've got the power to do it. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Health. I am Jehovah Healer. I want you to be healthy so desperately that when you do make a mistake and when you do fall and when you do break my commandments and when you do become sick, I'll heal you. That's how much I care. But I would rather that you not get sick in the first place, and I'm giving you a precept here through my man Moses that if you will do what I tell you to do, if you'll listen to my word, if you'll do my commandments, if you will diligently hearken unto me and seek unto me, you can be healthy. That means no cancer, it means no heart disease, it means no kidney stones, it means no headaches, it means no flu, it means no sniffly noses, it means no coughs, it means no sore toes or arthritic joints. I want you to know that the Spirit of God is just boiling right here, right now. To say, people understand what my will is. My will is health. I want you to be whole. Well, every one of you raised your hands a moment ago when I asked you if you'd ever been sick. Why is it, if God's will is health, that we get sick? How does it happen that when the will of God is for us not to be sick, that we all get sick? Turn with me to the 38th Psalm. Psalm 38. This is a Psalm of David. As we read it, you will see that David is in a very pitiful condition. He's sick. He's bad sick. His complaint is very bitter here. His prayer is one of, oh, woe is me. But it also is one of revelation. Now watch it. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy displeasure, in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones. Why? Read it aloud. Because of my sin. Now, all the way through the Old Testament, you will find the same kind of words that are used here by David and Moses back in Exodus 15 we've read, attributing sickness as an instrument of God. What we are seeing is the recognition of the Old Testament prophets that when we sin and when we transgress the law of God, God's law, God's unbreakable law, allows us to walk in sickness and disease, and it appears as the arrows of God. They are not God's. It's not God's work. Disease is not the work of God. My Bible tells me in the last chapter of Revelation that in heaven there isn't any sickness. There's none there. If there isn't any there, it doesn't belong to Him. Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. How is it in heaven? It's healthy there. Jesus said that we should pray that it be the same way upon the earth. Now what David is saying here is because I have sinned, I have gone crossways of the word of God and the arrows of God and the anger and the wrath of God is displayed against me in such a way that I have left myself open for sickness to come into my life. Now, you can read this any way you want, but it says that there's no soundness in David's flesh because why? He sinned. Mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. When you're sick, you smell. Don't you? When you're sick, you stink. You really do. When you're beginning to get a cold, what's the first thing that happens to you? You smell. You got a funny kind of a, you just smell funny. When you get around people who are sick, there's a stinking kind of a smell. I mean, you can cover it up with room deodorizers, but it stinks. I'll tell you, if heaven smells like that, I don't want to go there. Sickness stinks. It's a stench in my nostrils, it's a stench in your nostrils, and it's a stench in the nostrils of God. David said, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of what? My foolishness. Because of my own doing. I am greatly troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. It's very difficult to have joy when you're sick. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. It turns my stomach to think about what I've got. And there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. When you get sick, that's the quickest way to lose your friends. It's the quickest way to lose the people who are real close to you when you're sick. David said, that's what happened to me. He said also that this is the time when my enemies really begin to rejoice. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me. And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, this is how I responded to all of that. As a deaf man, I heard not. I paid no attention to what my enemies said about me. And I was a dumb man that opened not my mouth. I refused to talk about it. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. And we could take those few verses there and preach on just that subject, couldn't we? It went in the midst of sickness. That's not really what I want to deal with today. For in thee, Lord, do I hope. I put my trust in you, Lord. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. Who is glorified when you're sick? Your enemies, Satan and his demons. He's the one that gets the glory when you're sick, not God. There's no glory for God when you're sick. David said, my enemies rejoice. They magnify themselves against me. When what happens? When my foot slippeth. When I make a mistake because I sinned and because I committed iniquity and this sickness has come upon me, and when I'm in that condition, my enemies just sit over in the corner and hee-haw against me. For I am ready to halt. What does that mean? I'm ready to quit. I've had enough. And my sorrow is continually before me. I don't know of anything that'll depress a person faster than sickness. For I will declare mine iniquity, David said. I know why I'm in this condition. I'm going to declare my sin, and I will be sorry for my sin. I know what the answer to this is. If it is my sin that caused me to become sick, then if I get forgiven my sin, I can get healed of my sickness. And so I declare my iniquity, and I'm sorry for my sin, and I make that right. But mine enemies are lively and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. It's not quite as easy as all that, he says. In my condition, I know that my enemies are strong. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. David knew where sickness came from. The source of sickness is Satan. He puts it upon people because of sin. Now, under the old covenant, turn with me, please, to Psalm 105. You're right there in the area. We saw in Exodus, the 15th chapter, that God said, if you'll obey me, and if you'll hearken diligently unto me, and if you'll do my commandments and do my statutes, then I will see that none of these diseases that the Egyptians and the rest of the world get, I'll see that you don't get them. I've got the power to do that, and I will see to it, because I'm Jehovah Rapha. All right, let's see in verse 37, Psalm 105. Apparently, there was a long period of time that they did not have sickness in the camp of Israel. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Not one. The word feeble there literally means weak or tottering. I've got a little note here in the margin of my Bible that I put there some time ago. Okay, that has to do with something else. All right, there was a period of time when the children of Israel lived disease-free. They lived healthy. They lived in perfect, absolute health coming out of Egypt. But something happened. Turn with me to chapter 16 of the book of Numbers. Now somebody's going to say, are you saying, Pastor, that every person is sick is guilty of sin? I think I'll just let the Word answer that. And I could cop it out and say, well, yes, doesn't the Bible say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? And that's really the truth. If there was no sin in the world, there'd be no sickness. Hear me. If there was no sin, there would be no sickness. And the result of sin is sickness. That's why we get sick, because of sin. Numbers 16, beginning to read in the 41st verse. The children of Israel are wandering in the wilderness. They've been healthy. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses. Now this is right after Korah's rebellion. You'll remember Korah and his people went down alive into the pit. And the people accused Moses and Aaron of doing that. It came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. Now, what's God saying? He said, the congregation has sinned, and upon the congregation is going to come the consumption. And if you don't want it to play, you don't want to be a part of it, you get up away from them. I'm separating you out because you're not the one that sinned. Moses and Aaron, you get up away. There's no sin in you, but there's consumption coming upon the congregation. Well, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before God, began to pray, because they knew what was coming. And Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. Why did the plague come to the children of Israel? Because of their sin. It's clear, isn't it? And we could, if we had the time this morning, I could show you 12 or 15 other examples in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, where exactly the same thing happened. And as Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Now, beloved, it's the same today as it was in that day. Disobedience to the Word of God is sin, and sin will produce sickness in the life of a believer and an unbeliever alike. God has one law. He doesn't make a different law for the born again than he does for the heathen. He's got one law, and it applies to all flesh. If you sin, you'll pay the penalty of that by walking in sickness and in disease. And time after time after time, the people of God, when they walked in obedience, walked in health. When they walked in disobedience, they walked in sickness and in plague. Now, 14,700 dead people is a tremendous price to pay for sin. But that's exactly what is happening today within the body of Christ. Christians are getting sick and dying before their time because of sin. I can't help it. That's the way it is. And I'm so glad, brother, that you brought the word of the Lord this morning, John. For to say that God was going to lead us into new understanding and into a deeper revelation of the truth, because this is not an easy thing for me to preach. And I know that some are going to misunderstand it, and some are going to misinterpret it, and some are going to misapply it, and some of the head tomatoes would throw them. But today I am ministering to you the Word of God, which is all I've ever ministered to you from this pulpit. Sin will produce sickness, and it will produce death, and it's not in the will of God. The will of God is health and full life and fullness of days. He wants us to live a long and fruitful and healthy life. That's the will of God. And if you don't have it, you fell short of God's perfect will for you. And if I don't have it, I'm falling short of the perfect will of God for me. Jesus Christ is the revealed will of God. He didn't die from sickness. Nor did he suffer from sickness. He suffered very much persecution. He suffered very much at the hands of the world, but he never suffered from sickness. Just before he was betrayed, he said to his disciples, he said, "The prince of this world cometh, but he hath no place in me." The only time Jesus Christ of Nazareth was sick was when he was on the cross of Calvary, when he took your sicknesses, not his own, yours and mine. Now, it's interesting to me that in this passage we just read from the book of Numbers, that Moses told Aaron, get a sweet-smelling incense and put it on the fire, and let's make an atonement for the congregation. Sin will produce sickness, and unless something is done to atone for that sin, the sickness will kill the people. Moses and Aaron made an atonement before God, and the plague was stopped so that they all didn't die. Now, does that remind you of something else that happened in the course of history? It's recorded for us in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 4. Surely. Surely. Do you know what that word means, surely? It means for sure. It means for an absolute certainty. It means there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. For sure, this took place. He, Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. If you don't have this marked in your King James Bible, you should. The word griefs is literally the Hebrew word which means diseases. The word sorrows is the Hebrew word which means literally pains. Surely Jesus hath borne our diseases and carried our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In other words, we thought, the people that were present there thought he had done something wrong, and God was punishing him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. It was for our sin that he died. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, who's healed? We are healed. With his stripes, we are made whole. Atonement was made for the body of Christ, for the people of God, yes, for the entire world. Did you know that sinners can get healed by believing in Jesus? Did you know that? Did you know that in the Gospels there was not one born-again person healed because there wasn't anybody born again yet? Did you know that? Did you know that every one of them were unregenerated men? Every one. And they were healed. God's desire is for healing and for health. And he has made the perfect solution for us in Jesus Christ. For us to be healed and stay healed. I wish we had time to read on down through the balance of that scripture and see how when Jesus made sacrifice for sin, that he provided the means for healing. In the Psalms, we sing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name," and we stop there. Perhaps we should write some new verses to that. "And to forget not all of his benefits," is verse 2. "Who healeth all thy diseases and forgiveth all thine iniquities." When Jesus forgave our sins, he also healed our diseases. Now, we do get sick. Why do we get sick? We get sick because we sin. Well, we don't sin too much. We don't murder. We don't commit adultery. We don't steal. We don't rail at others. We don't do the heinous kinds of things that the world calls sin. But I want to show you something about sin. Look in the book of Revelation, right over near the back, near the end of your Bible. Do you know that Christians are sinning without knowing it? Do you know that you sin and I sin without knowing it? And here are some of the ways that we do. Revelation chapter 21 is a description of the new heaven and the new earth. It's a description of the new city, Jerusalem, which is going to last forever and ever, and who's going to be there and who's not. Verse number 7 and 8. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." One day I'm going to, I don't know if I have ever, in the short time that I've been in the ministry, preached a whole message on hell. Now you know what the Bible teaches about hell, there really is one. And it's the most unpleasant place that you have ever considered. I have heard people say, and so have you, "Well, I don't believe in a fiery burning hell the way those preachers preach it. I believe that we have our own hell right here on earth." Do you know what? In the same way that we get a little taste of heaven here on earth, we get also a little taste of hell. We have never experienced heaven in all of its glory, in all of its brightness, in all of its wonder. We've experienced the Lord, but we've experienced only the down payment. Our imagination is not big enough for us to conceive how glorious and how wonderful heaven is, and the joys of this life are only a taste of what heaven is like. And I want you to know the Spirit of the Lord ministers to me in my heart that the terrors of this life and the tribulations of this life and the pains of this life are minuscule, only a token of what it's really like in heaven. And honey, if you're saying that you're having your hell here on earth, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. If you think this is hell, you are in for a rude awakening. This is patty cake compared to what hell is really like. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you've experienced. This is penny ante stuff compared to the real McCoy. Sickness is just a taste of hell. Pain and torment is just a taste of hell. And the grief that we experience in this life is just a token of what it will be like for those that refuse the gift, the free gift of God, of eternal life. Now, do you notice that the people that are not going to enter the new heaven are the adulterers, the sorcerers, the idolaters? You know, we can pretty well figure that murderers, we know that murderers are not going to get in to heaven, you know, unless they have repented and been forgiven and had that washed away. But as long as they continue to operate in that murderous spirit, that adulterous spirit, that whoremongering and idolatry spirit are not going to participate in the kingdom of God. But do you notice that liars are included in there? But probably not white lies. Hey? Did you notice that the unbelieving are included there? Oh, that means probably just those that don't believe in Jesus, but as long as you believe in Jesus, you don't have to believe anything else. Huh? Don't kid yourself. Well, it's only natural to be fearful. Why would God condemn the fearful? To eternal destruction. Because fear is an unwillingness to believe and trust God. The Lord said to us this morning, I'm the rewarder of them that diligently seek me. That's the second half of Hebrews 11:6. Which says without faith it's impossible to please God. Did you know that fear is a sin? Did you know that? Well, a little bit of fear is healthy. Baloney. A little bit of fear will condemn you. Just to say, do you know that just a tiny little bit of arsenic will kill you just as dead as a whole cupful? Did you know that? You don't have to gorge yourself on arsenic to get dead. You don't have to have a whole lot of fear either. You don't have to have a whole lot of unbelief. Just a little bit will do it. And so every day, what do? We're afraid. We're unbelieving. We doubt the Word of God. And so we are not doers of the Word. We don't do what God said do. And then we come down with a flu. Then we come down with a runny nose. Then we come down with cancer or some other stupid, ugly thing. It's because of my sin, David said, that there's no soundness in my flesh. All the way through the New Testament, we'll not take the time this morning to see this, but you can look it up for yourself in Luke chapter 5, where the lame man, or the palsied man, was brought down through the tile in the roof. You'll remember when his four buddies led him down through the roof? And Jesus said, thy sins are forgiven thee. You remember that? The man was sick. He was laying there paralyzed. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. Why on earth would he say that? Because the sickness is a direct result of it. Over in John's gospel, and then he healed him after he had forgiven his sins. You read it for yourself. After he had forgiven his sins, then he said, rise and take up your bed and walk. The man jumped up off the bed. See, his sins were taken care of. His sin was gone. And he rose up off the bed. He took his bed and walked home with it. Then you can go over to the 5th chapter of John. Just remember Luke 5, John 5, and I'm going to give you James 5 in just a minute. John chapter 5, and Jesus that day went to the pool at Bethesda, and there were sick people all around that pool. And there was a man there that was impotent. He had never walked. There was no strength in his legs. And Jesus said, "Would you be healed?" And the man said, "Well, I can't. Because when the angel comes to trouble the water, somebody gets in ahead of me. I have no man to put me down." Jesus said, "Rise and walk." And the man did. Later on, they were in the tabernacle, and the people came up to him and said, "You're walking. Who did this for you, guys?" "I don't know. I'd never got his name. He just said, 'Rise and walk.' And I did, and here I am, but I don't know his name." And just then he turned around, and there was Jesus in the temple. And Jesus came to him, and he said, "Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing than this come upon you." Now, why would he say that? Why would he say that? See, we skip over those verses. We don't like them. Go and don't sin anymore, lest something worse come upon you. I have dealt with the result of your sin. I have forgiven you, and I have healed you. Now walk in obedience to the Word of God and stay healthy. Don't you see that? James chapter 5. The scripture says to the New Testament believer, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And they will anoint him with oil and pray over him. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick." We stop right there. But the last half of the verse says, "And if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him." You see, unless the sin is dealt with, the sickness can't be. I've got a brother right here who was suffering from cancer, and they wanted to take his leg. Now, the boy was a sinner. Were you a sinner, Leroy? Yes, he was. He was unregenerated, did not know the Lord. He's laying in a hospital about to lose his leg. He gives his life to Jesus Christ. He receives the fullness of the Spirit of the Lord in him, and God Almighty heals his body. He was serious. He was serious about God. He hearkened diligently to the voice of the Lord. Was it the will of God he have cancer? No, it was his own dumb fault. Forgive me, brother, but you know that, don't you? I'm not telling him something he doesn't know. It's his own fault. And it's our fault. David said, "Because of my sin. But I will confess my iniquities to God, and I will be sorry for my sin. Oh God, my Savior, come and help me." Okay? Does that speak to you? He wants us whole. It is the will of God for us to be in health. And there's absolutely no reason for us to be in any other condition. Now, I realize that when I speak that to you, the Holy Ghost is also speaking to my heart. And he's saying to me, he said, "Well, now, Vic, what are you going to do when your nose starts running?" Well, I'm going to do the same thing David did. I'm going to say, "Lord, whatever I did, I'm deeply sorry for it. Forgive me. Come and save me. Oh, my God. Oh, my God." Now, does that mean that we'll never be sick again? No, it means we can. We can never be sick again. But some of you are perhaps saying, if it's so easy to sin, it's so easy to doubt, it's so easy to be afraid, it's so easy to not trust God when we should be trusting Him. And if God considers that sin, then what hope is there for us? We're not going to lose our salvation. We'll go on and be with Jesus forever. But how are we ever going to live a life of health when it's so easy to sin? Would you like to have an answer? Well, okay then. Would somebody like to have an answer? Is there one person here that would like to have an answer? All right. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. I'm as serious as I can be, beloved. I'm not preaching to hear myself heard. I mean, I can go out in my barn and preach and hear myself heard. If it's not doing you any good, I'll quit. But if it's doing you some good, we'll keep preaching it. First Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. In other words, stop doing the things that you used to do. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. In other words, quit sinning. Stop it. And if ye call on the Father without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Have you wondered about the judging of every man according to his work? We have seen that always, I believe, as being at the judgment seat of Christ where the rewards are passed out. But do you know Jesus said that every idle word that a man speaks, he's going to have to give account for. Did you remember him saying that in Matthew 12? And here he says that God, without respect of persons, it doesn't matter whether a person's saved or unsaved, without respect of persons, God judgeth us according to our works. You can get just as sick and just as dead as a lost person. Hear me. Do you see that? So pass the time of your life here in reverence to God, diligently seeking Him. That's what that means there. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now watch this. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now it's interesting to me that the Spirit of the Lord would say to these believers in the New Testament days, look, Jesus Christ has redeemed you with his own blood. He has completely canceled sin and sickness in your life. Now, there are very many things that you do not understand that can bring torment and destruction, sickness into your life. And rather than trying to give you all of the thou shalt nots, I'm going to give you one thou shalt. I'm going to give you the new commandment that Jesus gave unto us. Do you remember that in Exodus 15, that the children of Israel were told, if you will obey the commandment of God, if you will do the word and the precepts and the testimonies of God, if you'll hearken diligently to do what he said, that you won't be sick like the rest of the world. Do you remember that? Jesus said in his ministry, a brand new commandment I give unto you. What was it? Love. Love. Get this now, that you love one another. And Peter said, look, I'm not going to give you a whole list of things that you shouldn't do. I'm just going to tell you one thing. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. If you do that, you'll be fine. And in the fourth chapter is where he really hits it. Verse 8. And above all things, most important thing, have fervent love, charity, love. Fervent. Not casual, but red hot. Christians ought to be red hot lovers. Intense, zealous love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Now listen carefully. You can't stop sinning without knowing all of God's ways and so on. I don't know them and you don't know them. I believe that it's possible for us to come to a state of sinlessness in so much as the Bible says that we are to be like Jesus. And if he was without sin, then it's possible for us. As a practical matter, I've never met such a person. As a practical matter, I've never met such a person. Nor do I ever expect to meet one. Yet I press on, and I pray that you will press on to that goal. In the midst of that, then, if it is so probable that we are going to sin, that we're going to walk against the commandments of God, that we are going to be afraid, that we are going to doubt, that we are going to do things that we don't understand, and in our ignorance we're going to sin. What can we do about that? One thing we can do, and we can do it for sure, and we can do it real good, and that is to love one another fervently and intensely. And God's word says that that zealous, fervent, intense love will cover all the multitude of sins. Not some of them. It covers the great multitude of sins which is within the body of Jesus Christ. Now that is good news. You have heard some good news preached this morning. You've heard some truth. You've heard some good news. Love, 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 love. The love of God that comes like the dew from heaven covers the sins of the people and will keep you healthy. I believe you can stay in perfect health if you'll stay in perfect love. I believe it's that simple. I believe it's that simple. Now, why did the Lord take us all the way around, you know, Peter's barnyard in order to bring us to Paul's stall? You know, why did he do all that? I think it's probably because he wants us to understand the importance. If it's one thing to say love and you can stay healthy, but I believe God wants us to understand why. The brother prophesied this morning and said that God wanted to take us up another rung of the ladder. I feel like I've jumped three rungs this morning just to see this truth. Now, the reason that Christians are more healthy than the Christians that are without is because we put our trust in God. We've allowed His love to come and dwell on the inside of us, and it's more natural for us to love than it is for those who have never known God. If you've not known God, you can't love. It's impossible for you to. It's impossible for you. And I'm going to tell you, if you are a bitter, unforgiving, and unloving person, you can just mark this down. You can mark this down. I don't have to read your palm. I read God's word for you that your life is not one that I would change with. I wouldn't trade my place with you. I wouldn't walk in your shoes, not one day. And you may say, well, you know, I've been a little like that, Pastor, and I really hadn't gotten cancer, or I really hadn't got run over by a car, or I haven't had a death-threatening disease. God's got a word for you, sister and brother. That word is in Lamentations chapter number 3. And you listen carefully. There's words for everybody, but it may be for somebody who is here this morning and say, well, I think I can get away with it. You can't get away with it. Now, some of you say, oh, no Christian would really feel that way. Don't you kid yourself. I know Christians who do. Now, Lamentations is between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. I hear the pages still turning. Lamentations is not your most popular book because pretty dreary. Lamentations means crying and much weeping. And folks don't really want to read this book. It's Jeremiah's Lamentations. But if you'll read it, I tell you, it's one beautiful book. There are passages in this, particularly in the third chapter, that when I read it, I just weep with joy. Verse number 22, chapter 3, verse 22, hear the word of the Lord God. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Why aren't we already done? Because of God's mercies. His compassions fail not because of His love, that's all. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. But you should know that you cannot tempt God forever with impunity. The commandment of God is to love one another. Turn in your bulletin to the back page. Back page. In this morning's bulletin, Read with me, please. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Brotherly love means preferring that other person. Brotherly love means forgiving and putting that other person first. That's what love is. So, what are you going to call this message, Pastor? Something like this. Stay in love and be healthy. Stay in love and be healthy. Praise God for doctors. Praise the Lord for doctors. If it weren't for doctors, most of us already be dead. I believe that that's part of the compassion of God, that He provide doctors for Christians that don't know how to love and for unbelievers that have rejected the gospel of the love of Jesus Christ. But let's allow our doctors to treat the unbelievers. Hey? Those that are sick, they're the ones that need a physician. We're not sick. We've been healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. We've been made whole. Now get that down in your spirit. Let's pray. Father, the word of the Lord God is a mighty and a powerful force. It gives life and it sets men free. I pray, Father, that after hearing this, your word proclaimed this morning, Lord, that each of us will be more aware of the tremendous importance of holiness and holy living, and how even in this life we pay the price for our unwillingness to love and our unwillingness to hearken unto you and to do what you said. But I pray also this, Father, that when we miss it, and unfortunately, most of us will, when we miss it, Lord, along the way, and when sickness comes, as it surely will follow sin, I pray, Lord, that you will hearken to us in that day and help us to see, Father, the futility of being condemned with ourselves. That you will reveal to us in that day that we ought not to feel guilty or condemned, but we ought to take this 38th Psalm and use David's example and say, I will declare my iniquity and I'll be sorry for my sins. Oh, God, forgive me. Come and help me, O Lord. There's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit and after not after the flesh. I pray, Lord, for this entire body, everybody that's here this morning and those who are not here. And I ask you, Lord, to show us in our daily experience how to walk more perfectly in love the way Jesus did. Nothing he ever did was outside of the law of love. He said, love one another as I have loved you in the same way. We want to be able to do that, Father. We want to love one another with your love. Show us each day how to love more perfectly, that we might walk perfectly in health, that lady next door whose kids are always sick should say to us, why are your kids never sick? How come they never get everything that's coming along? And we might say, because Jesus has redeemed us from sickness. And because I hearken and my family hearkens to the word of the Lord, because we have received the sacrifice of Jesus Christ into our life, and because we try to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, we're not perfect, but we try to please Him in everything, that God protects us and He sees to it that none of these diseases come upon us. And that the response might be, I want to know that Jesus. We see, Father, that that's how our light's supposed to shine. That these are the principles that we are to live by so that the true light shines. Not something that we invent, but something that You do in us. Thank You, Father, for our health. Just, congregation, say that with me. Thank You, Father, for our health. Say this now. Thank You, Lord, that I am healthy. Thank You, Lord, that I am healthy. Now say this. Thank You, Father, that sickness can't dwell in me. Thank You, Father, that sickness can't dwell in me or in my family. Thank You, Father, that I'm delivered from sickness. I love. Love is natural for me. And love covers all my sin. And keeps me in health. And protects me from disease. Thank You for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.